Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, I'm so excited tonight. I have to give her a great welcome back. Our stars, Maya Moon, is back every other Monday from 7 to 8 with great topics. We will still have Stars James and Stars Dragon Spirit on the opposite weeks, but I have a feeling that James is going to burst in any time when Maya is on, and I'm just so happy to have her back, and I know everybody is too. She can carry the topic herself. We might have call-ins tonight. Hopefully we will. We've got people sitting in the chat room, and welcome back, Maya.
Well, thank you, Miss Natalie. It is so great to be back, and I've missed everyone. I just had some conflicts in schedule and things to take care of. But I'm very, very excited to be back. I'm excited about the topic, and I'm excited, of course, to share with the listeners and to share with you, Miss Natalie, and I look forward to working with the other hosts as things go, Mr. James and Cheyenne and whomever, and I hopefully, I want to take this chance to welcome everyone, those of you that are tuned in regularly and those of you that maybe this is your first time, welcome, and I really hope that you enjoy the show, and I will be giving the number out. We are welcoming you if you have something, some input or something to add about the topic. Please feel free to call in and to add your thoughts or your input on the topic. So, yes, and everybody needs to hear Miss Natalie, also known as Starcast. I have a little theme. I have little theme songs for her. So, and I'm not a singer, but my favorite
I'm dying to hear you. Come on the air. Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Okay. So first it goes do 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 do. Here she comes to save the day, and that's all I can do because I have dogs. And they get so riled up when I sing that they'll start barking. I'm not sure if it's because I'm piercing their eardrums with the noise or they like it. But, yeah, they're really funny. So, yes, I have little theme songs for Miss Natalie. And I'm so glad to be back with her. And, of course, I've continued to be a part of the Stars family. So I'm online and doing readings. Currently, I did not take a break from the site. I just had some schedule conflicts. So, anyways, great to be back, and I'm really looking forward to the topic. So, thank you, Miss Natalie, for having me back.
Oh, well, my pleasure. And, of course, the topic tonight, if you haven't read, is boundaries, limitations, and compromise. How do we know when compromise is healthy versus allowing others to overstep boundaries? What are the consequences of not having boundaries or not ever compromising, especially in relationships? And I think probably, Maya, this has happened to many people in their lives and will happen again and again, and maybe they need to understand what it is. And we encourage everybody to call in. I have some people that I think are going to call in tonight, and the chat room had quite a few. Oh, Aeneas, Stars Aeneas is in the room, and he said, I'm howling. He heard your song. He was excited to have you back, too, as is our Candy, our Stars Priestess Candy. She's excited to have you back as well. So you can start with this at any time, and if I get a caller, I will certainly let you know. We had somebody just call in but they dropped, so we'll see if they come back. But, oh, yes, I'm happy to have you back, of course.
Okay, great. Well, again, this is Maya, and it's really good to be here, and we really appreciate all the people that work so hard in the chat room. If you are interested in a mini reading, you can visit the chat room for that. Here on the topic discussion, we're no longer doing any kind of readings, but the number, if you would like to join in the discussion or you have some thoughts that you'd like to share with us, the phone number that you're going to call is 1-347-838-9736. So I'm going to dig right in with what I call BLC, Boundaries, Limitations, and Compromise. And if you look at our life, my guides always are quick to point out, hopefully some of you have perhaps read the blog where I've written a little bit about this, and we are spiritual beings and we are living a human life. So therefore, we always have to be aware of both of those sides of us, if you will, which there's unity and we're joined. And there's very few things in life as we negotiate or we navigate through life and through our journey that we're not in some way faced with boundaries, limitations, and compromise. And most especially, I'd like to focus a little bit on relationships because I feel that's where a lot of us can get into some trouble. It's where, and it can go either way. So I'm going to kind of go over things. And again, if you'd like to call in to add to that, or if you have a general question about the topic, that's okay too. So boundaries are, we should have spiritual boundaries, and some of us have physical boundaries. For example, we can look at boundaries as kind of our outside perimeter and what we're comfortable with. So boundaries are what we put up, our fences, our gates, if you want to call it our protective gear, our way of protecting ourselves. Those are our boundaries. And we can have healthy boundaries, or we can have, for example, we should have good, healthy boundaries. And we'll talk, as we go through it, I'll talk a little bit more about giving some examples about what might not be healthy. So then we have the BLC. So L is limitations. Now, limitations can be looked at a little bit differently. Each of us are unique, and as unique spiritual beings and human beings, we each have our own limit of what we can tolerate or what is acceptable. Where limitations can often come in is sometimes if we become too limited, then we're kind of closing off the door. And whenever we're limited, whenever we close the door, then what happens is we're cutting ourselves off from the potential for the future. So if you can imagine, like in the olden days, I'm sure they still do today. They had a castle with, they would have a moat. So they would have these series of ways of protecting those within. And then they would have the bridge. So that might be seen as like the boundaries. And then they had some limitations, but limitations we want to look at as not having too many limitations, because that keeps us from reaching our highest good or potential. And then we have compromise. And I feel that my experience in this business, I've been doing this more than 35 years. I've been with STARS for about 2.5 years now, and so quite a while. Compromise, I feel, is something that the majority of us often get confused or conflicted with compromise. Compromise should be in its healthy state. It should be a way of interacting with others by being able to bend or accept something that causes no harm to ourselves, our path, or our highest good, but allows us to be more accepting. For example, if your partner doesn't clean, let's say, doesn't pick up their clothes the way that you would like. That would be something that you could reasonably perhaps compromise. We can look and say, okay, 5 years down the road, is it going to matter that they pick their clothes up in comparison to this person is a good partner? No. So compromise should be a good, healthy state of being, and something, and we even compromise within our own self. What we have to be careful of is that compromise does not become our way of life. So then we start to look at relationships, we start to get into it a little bit deeper. When you find yourself, if you're a person and you found yourself, for example, involved in a relationship, and let's say, even if it's not romantic, it doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic relationship, but involved in a relationship, and every time there's an encounter, there's an experience, or there's an interaction, you're walking away feeling anxious, or you may feel frustrated, you may feel anger, you may feel sometimes even sadness, or you feel that something has been taken from you, chances are something has gone wrong with your BLC, your boundaries, your limitations, or your compromise. So as we look closer at those, what we want and what is for our best is to be able to attain or achieve healthy and good boundaries, both spiritual, so within our own spiritual self, and our etheric energy, which is the space outside of us, and in our interactions with other people. For example, thinking about boundaries, limitations, and compromise. So boundaries might be something that you could look at that as, again, we talked about the castle and the fencing as a self-protection, or our early warning system, you might say, is our boundaries. Okay, so let's say that you have a home, your living space, and you have a system in place so that it notifies you. A good boundary would be a system that notifies you, perhaps a bell rings or a buzzer goes off, an alarm, and notifies you that someone has entered into the patio or has entered towards your front door. And that gives you a chance to find out, okay, is this a friend stopping by? Is this a neighbor that needs something? Is this a solicitor that perhaps you might be interested in? Or is this someone, a stranger, that I'm not comfortable in opening the door? Now, having too strong of boundaries can also limit our connection to other people and our connection to others, and can limit, again, our potential for the future. So let's say, for example, your boundaries were such that anyone that entered the perimeter of your property, all these arrows started shooting out before you knew who it was. Obviously, that would not be a good thing, because those would be too strong, too tight of boundaries. So that's kind of a way that my guides have shown it to me, and that I kind of analyze that. So when you start to look at relationships, then you start to look at what your boundaries are. And one way that we can take a look at a healthy and functional relationship is starting with, do we have good boundaries? Have our boundaries been shifted or changed in a significant way? And then again, the key factor that we want to look at is serving our highest good. So while you might have been a person that was perhaps a little fearful of being close with someone or being intimate, fear of getting hurt, lots of different fears, and so you entered into a relationship, again, maybe that was just even just a friendship or a romantic relationship, and in entering this relationship, you loosened up those boundaries and you allowed that person to get closer by loosening your boundaries, which would be sharing more about yourself, being able to be closer to that person. Anytime we are closer and we connect with other people, we automatically connect to our higher self. So that would be a definite positive change in boundaries. Now, on the other side, if you are looking at a relationship and you had good, healthy boundaries in place, boundaries that you did not allow someone to take advantage of you, or you did not allow someone to be, say, verbally abusive or put forth no efforts towards the relationship, again, romantic or otherwise, both people or all persons involved in a relationship need to be fairly equal in the efforts that they put forth. And my guides always teach me that, and universal law also, depending on what you look at, refers to the relationship being a separate entity from either of the persons involved. And normally when we think of a relationship, we do have family systems, but we're looking at a one-on-one relationship. So we're looking at two people, and the relationship is the highest, and so the choices then need to be for the relationship. So is the effort equal, or have you find yourself, are you contemplating, for example, let's say that you're involved in a relationship and lately you've been feeling feelings that are, maybe you're feeling anxious or you're questioning the value of the relationship. Sometimes clients will say, something just doesn't feel right. I don't feel like I'm getting what I deserve. So that would be a good time. Those are red flags, and that would be a good time to review and say, okay, are my boundaries completely different? Have I let go of all of my good boundaries so that I've allowed another person or their influence to take away, let's go back to the house that had the protection. We all need probably, depending on where we live, but just using it in general, all of us need some type of warning system, whether it's a locked door and they need to ring the doorbell or knock on the door. We need some type of warning system that someone is on our property that's knocking at our door. So having no boundaries or having dysfunctional or not very good or self-serving boundaries would be, how many of us would really be comfortable in leaving all of our doors and windows open and allowing any person to just walk in and out of our home? I think we can all relate and say, oh, I probably wouldn't be comfortable. Now, maybe if I knew them or if they were a friend, but I'm talking about in general, you live in a busy area and people said, oh, you know, that person across the street, they leave their windows and doors. You can just go in. Well, pretty soon people are going in and they're taking some bologna and then they're taking cheese and then they're taking laundry detergent. So you get the idea. So having no boundaries leaves us open to being, to be taken advantage of, and then we are blocking ourselves from, again, our potential and achieving our highest self or our highest path or our highest good, however you want to look at it. So it really is important. So one way when you are dissecting a relationship or trying to evaluate how a relationship fits in with your happiness and the equality of the give and take of relationship would be to look at boundaries. Are you able to keep good, healthy boundaries intact? A person who honors and respects us, whether it's a romantic or a friend or a family member, should also honor and respect our good boundaries because they too should have good boundaries. So good, healthy boundaries without going overboard, but without being without boundaries. If we had no boundaries or I use animals a lot in my analogies. Perhaps you've been in a situation where you've had a strange dog approach you. I know I do raise dogs, but even so, I'm not comfortable with a strange dog, especially a large dog, approaching me. Or even at a friend's house, let's say a dog that comes up, and I've used this analogy before in some of the things I've written, and let's say that at first it appears that the dog's friendly, and you're like, oh, well, you know, isn't Skippy a friendly little dog? And they're, you know, trying to get your attention, tail is wagging, and they're kind of pawing you. But after about an hour of that, it soon becomes annoying. So Skippy doesn't have very good boundaries, and Skippy is being invasive on your boundaries. So it's important to have boundaries. So compromise. Let's talk a little bit about, and I just will check and see if Miss Natalie had anything that she wanted to add to this so far, or anything that she wanted to ask.
Well, I really agree with you on all of this. Sometimes when you write the blog, and I have to invite everybody to look at the blog because Maya writes every day for it. Just about, we have Aeneas who does the cards, and Rain's Loving Insight who does angel cards. But it seems like when you write something, I feel like it's directed at me. Is that strange? But yes, you did write on boundaries and limitations and compromise, and I agree. I think oftentimes maybe the fear of getting hurt and not being able to recover, especially in a relationship, I think that's most difficult, don't you?
Yes.
And I mean, it's tough. It really is. It's tough. It takes a lot of, I don't know what it takes. It is, but it's definitely a difficult move for somebody to say, okay, enough is enough. You know, I've given you my all and all of that. And it doesn't matter how deep the relationship is. I don't know. I know for a fact it's not easy. So I don't know. You know, whatever you think about it is good. And I always say, have something great to say. And that's my little take on it anyways.
Well, you're very right, though, Miss Natalie. And one thing that we do have to remember and be, you know, sympathetic and empathic to is that it's not easy. When we are invested in someone, especially if we've invested resources, if we've invested time and energy into a person or into a relationship, even if we can stand back and acknowledge that little by little, because generally these things happen over a period of time. They don't usually happen overnight. And we acknowledge and start to see that our boundaries are slowly slipping away and we're beginning to tolerate more and more. It is very difficult because as humans, we're always dealing with the fear of uncertainty. The future is always uncertain, and love especially does not come without risk or sacrifice, and it certainly does not come with any guarantees, as I know that you know, and I know as a person, as a human being, just because we're in this profession certainly doesn't mean that we live up in the sky in some shrouded mansion, you know, with we are living. And I'm sure those in the chat room would agree with us that we're still human beings. We still live a very human life. So we can connect with all these feelings and life experience. And life experience is often based on just age and maturity and how many experiences and maybe even partners or relationships, again, not always romantic. So, yes. You have a really good point. We can recognize that something is off kilter or that our boundaries have slipped or that we are compromising perhaps too much, but that doesn't mean that it's always that easy to make a change. It can be very difficult to make a change into a healthier state of being. Yes. Yes, because fear is my guides always say fear makes the worst decision maker. But fear is probably one of the most constant emotions. What do you think about that? That I feel that humans carry, that, I mean, it can protect us, but it can also be one of our biggest obstacles in life. Would you say that that's probably true or no?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think what it is when you make a decision to, say, break off with someone, for example, there's a lot of fear there. And, if your heart is involved, everybody deals with it differently. It just depends on your spirituality has a lot to do with it. Some people can just say, okay, bye-bye, see ya, don't want to be ya, you're gone. But others, they can't quite do that. But I would hope that something would occur that would show them the right way. I mean, I thoroughly believe in everything, as you know, Maya. And I just know that things are not brought to you that are not supposed to be brought to you. But if sometimes, if something doesn't happen, it's for our own better good, even though we don't like to tell that to ourselves. Like, say somebody's in a relationship and it doesn't go anywhere. You don't end up getting engaged and married, that kind of thing. Well, maybe it wasn't supposed to be that way. Maybe I believe in God. Maybe God is protecting you from something much worse. And it can happen that way. And, you just want to hope that you know that it will be the betterment for you, even though it's going to be most difficult, very, very difficult. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that this might be saving me from something much worse, stepping into the fire, so to speak. And I wouldn't be a happy person. And I think you have to consider that and keep telling yourself that over and over and over again, that you are a wonderful person, and I'm very lucky. I'm surrounded by lots of love. Look at the staff I have. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many people tell me, how much they love me. They don't even know me, but they just know I have a really good heart. But the thing of it is, I think it takes time. I don't think you can do it like overnight. I don't think you can just say, well, okay, I've had enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. Not if it's real. If it's just a, slight relationship or not even anything, it's still very, very, very tough. But, yeah, I do agree with you. The best thing to do is really set the boundaries in the beginning for yourself and don't let it get too far so that you can't come back or it's very difficult to come back to where you were. And you lose part of yourself sometimes with another person, don't you think?
You do, and that's precisely correct. And that's when what may have started as a very beautiful connection often turns into an attachment, because we then attach our happiness, our hopes, and our dreams to a person as opposed to the relationship. And I liked what you said earlier. I also do believe in the Christian God, and I believe that oftentimes what we may see in the moment as an unanswered prayer is actually a blessing. So, for example, the job that we didn't get, or the guy or the girl that didn't call or didn't return our call, that we feel disappointed in that moment, is only because there's something better. So, yes, if we can, I agree, if we can be consistent and have good boundaries in the beginning, And it's tricky. I call it the BLC, because we need to have good boundaries that are healthy boundaries, but at the same time, like you mentioned, there are some people that can, as soon as things seem to go south, they walk away. But then we have to look at compromise, because compromise is always going to be a factor in a relationship, even the healthiest of relationships, whether you're with your soulmate or life partner, or you have a best friend that's been your friend for 20 years. We have to be able to compromise. And so there are people that take it to the other extreme and are unwilling, because of their fear of losing control or losing their identity, they are unable to make any sacrifices or any compromises whatsoever for the greater good of the relationship. And that's just as unhealthy. So we have to be able to find the balance. And quickly, let me just read the number again. If you've got a comment to make or you have a general question on the topic, the number is 347-838-9736. We welcome guests. We welcome any experts that might be tuned in. And any listeners, if you'd like to call in and join, please do. So, yes, Ms. Natalie, those are really good points. And we all have our own time. We, even though we have a clock, and, you know, we're a society that is run by time, spiritually time is not, has not nearly as much relevance as what we as human beings, our human side, places upon it. And so we each are different. So, yes, if we can, so if you are single right now or you're just starting the new phases of a relationship, then this is, ideally, this is a very good topic and something that you should really pay attention to, because the stronger that your boundaries are, you want to have good boundaries and you want to have limitations of what you will or will not accept. However, you still want to be open to compromise. So the more aware you can be of keeping those three things in your mind as you are moving into a new relationship, the less likely it is that you'll end up in a situation or a relationship where you'll have to make a choice that becomes extremely difficult or devastating, because, it, you know, as human beings, the more we invest into something, I mean, it's just like playing the stock market. You know, if we continue to invest and hold on to a certain stock, it's going to be very difficult for us to sell when they're low. We're going to keep thinking, you know, one more. I mean, and that goes along with addiction too. So if folks can be aware of those things as they're beginning a relationship, then they're going to be serving their highest good, and they're going to be attracting and generally finding a relationship that has a much higher vibrancy, vibration, energy, and so on. So we have to kind of, we don't want to go overboard and have no boundaries, but by the same token, we don't want to become one of those persons that has no ability to compromise, because that's just as unhealthy for us, and we can't really learn about ourselves, and we can't really grow with someone or develop a strong connection and a relationship that can be lasting if we're not willing to compromise. And so we should all be aware. Each of us are different. I mentioned dirty clothes on the floor. Now, for some people, that might be something that they truly just simply can't tolerate. So each of us are individual in what we're going to be able to say, okay, well, I can compromise on that. But we do need to be willing to compromise. And the compromise should never be at the sacrificing of ourself, our greater good, our core beliefs, or our spiritual self. It should always be in the sense of achieving something higher or better in terms of connection or love or commitment with another person. So those are the things to consider. And what I've actually found a lot of times is that a lot of clients are the opposite. They put up these really big high barriers, so fences. So these boundaries and these strong limitations, you know, like a checklist. Okay, he or she, you know, and this gender is unimportant, and same as sexual identity, unimportant. It's all the same. Love is love. So what I find is that oftentimes they have these very high walls in the beginning, really too high, so they block a lot of people from being able to enter their life. But then once they've made some connection, it's like the walls, instead of tapering those walls off or making some doorways, so to speak, everything just crumbles. And we cannot be healthy, functioning. We can't keep our universal, our connection to divine, to God, to creator, source, whatever we ascribe to as our higher belief. We can't keep those going in place if we don't have that within our own self. And it's just like everything. It's reciprocal, and it's a mirror effect. Just like we take our right hand and our left hand, and they mirror one another, the same thing is true. What we don't give and have for ourselves, we're not generally going to find that someone else is going to be able to give us. So that's another reason why the BLC becomes very important, is we have to have that within ourselves, for ourselves, in order to attract it and to expect. If we don't respect ourselves, then how can we expect someone else to? And if we don't set up good boundaries, and I know you work the business too, Natalie, so I'm sure that you've come across those clients that have gotten a little bit lost along the way, and they don't, you know, they'll say, well, he did this or she did that, but what they're not realizing is they're actually accountable for perhaps not having those boundaries or limitations. And like you said, once you get invested in something and there's a connection, and the longer that we become invested in something, then yes, it's much harder to pull back from that situation than it is to start out on the right foot, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. It's and you like to believe that you attract what you are. If you believe in any of the laws of the universe, and sometimes you probably think to yourself, well, how could I have made a mistake? I was following my heart. I'd have no answer for that. I think you have to follow your heart. I think sometimes it takes a longer time for someone than others. Sometimes, you know, they can recognize things and make a decision. Others, they just go on and on and on. And maybe I think it's out of fear. I think they're afraid. Maybe they're afraid to be alone, or afraid to risk again that they're going to make the wrong choice, or the wrong person is going to be attracted to them. And basically it's in relationships of any kind, you know, friendships, whatever it is. It doesn't have to necessarily be love. I think that you can apply it to everything, and it's such an individual thing, and you can listen to everybody in the world that's around you, but you have to do it at your own time, because I think that's really important too. You don't want to have a friend say, well, you need to do this, and then you do it, and then you regret it, and then you're miserable and you hate yourself. You don't want to do that either. So I want to believe that you will know in your heart when it's the right time to do something, either to cut off a friendship or relationship or business partner, if you will. I've seen it happen over and over again, and what you can do also is lean on your friends, those that you really trust. Listen to what they have to say. And a good friend will not say, well, you need to do this. No, a good friend will not do that to you. A good friend will stand by your side and say, well, I feel that this is wrong for you. I feel that perhaps you need to make a change. And eventually maybe that other friend will make that change, but that's what good friends are to me. I mean, you know, I have two really good friends. I have a really good friendship with you, Maya. I would go to you before I would go to my other two friends. So you have to trust. You have to trust who's around you and listen to Maya Moon on the air and read the blogs that are there. They're very informative. And, it's tough. It's tough. Your heart gets broke, and we've all had our hearts broken at one time or another, especially when we're young. I remember when I was a girl when I was younger, and I was like in junior high. That's a very vulnerable time, I think, for people. And somebody, you know, a guy would call me all the time, and then he would stop. And then I'd find him walking hand in hand with another girl in the hall. Well, then I think it's easier for you to bounce back, don't you, Maya? I think you say, well, okay, I'm hurt today. But then tomorrow somebody else is looking at you and you think, oh, he's kind of cute. You know, it's easier. I don't know why it is. Maybe because we haven't had a lot of imprinting on us. We haven't experienced a lot of negative stuff. We're not old enough. I always use my granddaughter as an example. You know, she's so sensitive, and I worry that some boy is going to hurt her, and she will be crushed. You know, I can see how she gets crushed about things, and hopefully my son and I can help her. My daughter-in-law too, but mostly my son and I. We're very sensitive and be able to help her. I even talk to her about it all the time, and she doesn't even know what I'm talking about. But I make sure that she understands that, you know, things like this can happen. And you just have to rely upon your dad or your Grammy. She calls me Graham now. But anyways, one of us, your mom, we've all experienced it. But it's why is it better when you're, like, in junior high to be able to handle things like that? Lack of experience, or it hasn't, like I said, hasn't imprinted on you yet, Maya? I don't know.
Well, I think it's a combination. That's a really good point that you bring up. Why is that true? And you can look at the psychological and the spiritual view with that. We're not even though we may be more open to spiritual experiences when we're younger, we're not as aware of our spiritual connection. And also, when we're younger, we tend to be we tend to seek instant gratification. And when we're in the now, so the younger generation, those that are younger and don't have as many life experiences, they have not, it's not always true, because I know some of us have had horrendous, you know, childhoods. But for the most part, we are looking at easily being distracted because we're seeking instant gratification. And whenever we're in that mode or that energy of instant gratification, then we become very easily distracted. So that allows us to, if we get our, for example, we get our hearts broken, like you mentioned, and another cute person walks by, and we are distracted.
I mean, I can say it's true. It happened to me.
Right.
And I thought, I mean, I was crushed. But then the next day, after I saw him walking with another girl, I thought, oh, okay. And I went on my business, went to the next class and all of that, and I saw another cute boy. It was simple. And I forgot about the other one.
Well, and because, you know, we're not as aware of loss in the sense of deep loss. You know, the loss of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, like you said, we can be crushed and just, oh, crying. You know, I can remember girlfriends and, oh, my gosh, it was just the end of the world. But just as you said, all it took was one party or meeting someone else, and we were moving on. Because I think it's a lot more natural. Plus, when we're young, we have not completed, you know, we generally have at least three stages of our identity where we connect to our identity, which is our spiritual identity, and then the external. So we haven't completely connected to that. Therefore, we're very chameleon-like, and that also allows us to be able to shift back and forth. We live in the now. We are not mature, so we haven't experienced loss, and we're not aware. We haven't yet come into the realization of sacrifices that need to be made, which goes back to compromise. And the compromises. So we can fall in love on one date, but then we can rebound in another date. As we mature, we become closer and closer, more united with our higher spiritual self. And so we begin to understand the importance of life partners. We also have to look at our ancestral DNA, which motivates us as we mature in age, that there, we always carry that, you know, I call it, for the most part, those that have female energy seeking the man to tend the fire, and those that carry the male energy are seeking the woman to, you know, do the gardening and birth and raise the children or whatever. So we have a lot of influences that start to creep up on us as we mature in age, and therefore, though we start adding those up, we also start to, at 16 or 17 or 18, we may have had a few life experiences, involving or regarding love. So we may have a little bit of experience with boundaries, limitations, and compromise. However, as we mature and we really make great sacrifices in working, in career, and perhaps attending school, and in relationships where we made significant life changes, if you're in grade school or high school, chances are, for the most part, your life was not completely altered because you fell in or out of love, or you were with someone, or that person left you. However, when you get past that age and you're 25 or 35, 45, 55, as we mature in age, when we connect with someone and we see that person or we feel them as a soulmate, and then we move even further to the next level as a life partner, all of a sudden we have major life changes, including moving in together, sharing a home, sharing financial responsibilities, perhaps having children and parenting. So all these are very heavy responsibilities and influences that create, there's the good side to it, because they create in us the gratitude that we are able to identify with love and the good side of love. But that also too helps to increase that level of fear, because it's a lot different. If you're 15 and your girlfriend walks out on you, you're still going home. I mean, again, generally we can't, of course we can't speak for every single person, but generally if your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you at 15, you're still going to go home, you still have the same friends, you're still going to do your homework, you're going to watch your movies or listen to your iPod or whatever, read your Kindle. But if you're 45 and you've been living with someone and that person leaves you, you are looking at extremely disruptive life changes. And so those experiences, even though we don't live in the past does live in us. So I think that's a big part of it, is that, you know, we feel that so much more, and it's just like these storms. I mean, it changes and shifts our life. If it rains for an hour, that doesn't really have a major effect. But if we have a major ice storm, you know, I mean, it's a disaster. So there's a lot to be said. So, yes, as we mature, I feel that our ability to put the relationship first, to compromise, have good boundaries and good limitations is easier to achieve. But at the same time, it can also be harder to achieve, and it can make it much more difficult for us to exit an unbalanced or dysfunctional relationship, or even acknowledge it. And the older we get, we have that clock that's running, and we have this internal clock, so we have that constantly going through our minds. And every human, I feel, is born with that fear of being alone. Although many of us are independent and we can function alone and we do well alone, that fear is just a part of our spiritual and human being. I feel that's true, and we don't have that so much when we're young. We're more afraid of falling off of our bike or looking not wearing the right shirt to school.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we have a caller, so can you hold on?
I think this is
Star Zanias. He has a question. If I can connect him.
Hey there, Sarzenius.
How are you? How's Maya? How are you, Maya?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. You sound so rested. I was just saying when the program began, I was saying about, you know, setting boundaries, and then I had just mentioned, and you hit on it, that when we get older and we're able to set boundaries with ourselves, we are much more. It's much more easier to set them with others, because when I never set boundaries for myself, everything around me was chaotic, including the people in my life.
Sure.
You know? And I have found that through experience, I was mentioning in the chat room that many times when we deal with clients and we're talking about their futures and what the possible outcomes could be, many a time they're so hesitant about that future because it means today they have to change a boundary. Something about the relationship, a boundary. So this is a really good topic for me to hear tonight. It's something I needed to hear on this cold upstate New York night.
And you found out I have a granddaughter, a little granddaughter, who's like...
No, I knew you had a granddaughter.
she's like a replica of me.
Yeah, I hadn't heard any granddaughter stories recently.
Maya's heard many granddaughter stories, but...
I know you love her.
Yeah, but you know, and I have a question, too. Now, can you talk about boundaries with friendships, people that you associate with... How do you go about doing that? Do you just say, you know, I call you and you call me? I mean, it used to be that way when we were in school. And she's still a good friend of mine. She didn't care who called who. And then I had another girlfriend. Well, I called you last. You need to call me. Well, was she setting boundaries? You know?
That's foolish, petty stuff.
You grow up and you don't have that when you're older.
Yeah, you don't have that track record to keep with others.
I would see that as unnecessary limitations, which limits the ability for the growth and joy of a relationship because they're worried about trivial things. Their ego is becoming involved. And so that's, to me, what I would consider an unhealthy limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Anais, you mentioned how we can do that, that clients, you mentioned them, that they're afraid of the future because it means making changes today, and therefore what they don't realize is that they are limiting themselves and more until they've drawn a tiny little box and there's no room for them to grow or to stretch.
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of people... you know, we speak to them when they're having issues, and you know we tell them what you know might help them, but you know it's like you got to change this because obviously you're talking to me and what you're doing now isn't working. You know.
That's true.
You have
to make some kind of a change for a change to come.
Right.
And you have
to.
I think you have to remember too, when there's a void, I've always believed this. I've never tested it out. But when there's a void in your life, something rushes to fill it.
Yes.
And it might not be the same kind of, it might not be love. It might be a real deep friendship, somebody that you can have fun with. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I believe that. I really do. I practice that when I talk about astrology because it's true. Something will rush to fill that space. Something will rush.
One door closes and another one opens.
Yeah,
do.
Exactly. One door closes, another one opens. There's all kinds of little cliches, I guess we call them, that would apply here, right, Maya?
Yes, but I also caution my clients getting into that subject. I call it swinging from the vines. And I do think it pertains just a little bit, sometimes more so to the female energy, but not exclusively. But one thing that I feel as humans that we are weak is that when we do finally, let's say we finally exit a relationship that is not serving of our highest good. So the relationship, for whatever reason, is not serving of our highest good. And we are unable to face being alone. And so we are scrambling to fill that void. And people that generally humans that do that are not going to be able to go generally from one relationship that was a committed life partner type relationship into another one without some time alone. It's not that we are changing our choice of our life path. You know, I know my life path, or this person knows their life path is one that they want to be involved in a partnership, but we still have to be comfortable. If we don't like being with ourselves, how is someone else going to be enjoying being with us? So
That's true.
So I always caution people, be careful of swinging from the vines, because that I see a lot in today's world, that we want to go immediately from, and it's almost almost being saved, although that's not quite the most accurate term I would place on it. But it is that energy where the person is just unable to function, to emotionally and spiritually deal with just taking a couple of months and being alone and getting to know themselves. So there's something within them that they are frightened to face, or either that, or they have never found their own identity, and therefore they've always attached it to someone else. And when you get into that pattern, you are always going to be attaching it as opposed to connecting. You're always going to end up in an anxious state or in chaotic relationships. You are not going to be able to find a healthy, peaceful, joyful relationship. I don't know if you both agree with me, if you're just jumping to fill the void.
You have to make good choices. If something rushes to fill the void, though, you can't just grab onto it and say this is it. I think you've got to learn from what you just came out of and set boundaries, like you know what you want. I want somebody who can have fun with and enjoy the same things I do and all that kind of stuff, yeah, and put up with all the stars like I do, which is an easy job. That's the best job I've ever had, is working with all my stars. I have to promo all of them. We still have a couple of minutes, but, I think I have the best group on the internet. I really, really do. I don't, and I would stack us up with anybody, and I don't care how big they are. I get emails all the time and people asking me how I am on Facebook, and how great is that? Telling me how fond they are of me, and they've never even met me. So it's a wonderful space that I'm in. And but you know, Maya, I'm so happy you're back. I know Stars Aeneas was too, and they're saying all kinds of compliments in the room. So happy she's back, and missed her, and all of this kind of good stuff. And so, you know, it's a wonderful thing having you back. And I don't know what the next topic is going to be when you do, but yeah, everybody's going to be happy that you're going to be on a regular basis like every other week. And I'm hoping James will come in and fill in. And Aeneas likes Tim, Soaring Wolf. We got to have him back. And you would like him too, Maya. He's really great, but it's nice to have him in action.
Yeah.
He's. We had him on, it was last week, right, Aeneas, he was on?
Yeah, last week. He was good. He was interesting.
Yeah, you know, he's got a nice voice and everything, and
yep.
He said, okay, let me know. So it's nice to have a lot of different people, and I think the host, like yourself, Maya, has a good time learning to understand what other people are about, and you don't really get to talk to them. So when we have them live on the air like that, I hope I get some more in. Mystical Waters is on vacation right now, so she's not in the room tonight, and we miss her, of course, and but I think it's fun. I love the show, and I extended it a little bit tonight just because I figured it would run over, and it did run over, but that's okay. So back to you, Maya. You can say your goodbyes, and thank you, Aeneas, for calling in. And
thank you, and good night, ladies. Maya, again, it's good to hear from you. It's good to hear you on the radio.
You too, Aeneas.
Okay,
too.
Honey, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Aeneas.
Bye-bye.
So I would wrap things up with, take a note, write it down, and I call it the BLC, Boundaries, Limitations, and Compromise. and make sure, define each one for yourself, and then before you enter into a relationship, or if you are in the middle of a crisis or in a decision or transition period in a relationship, really take a look at those three words and what they mean to you, and ask yourself if you are healthy in your compromises and willing to compromise, unlike the friend that Natalie mentioned. That's not healthy to be worried about who called who. But then there's other compromises that are not serving. And a lot of times, if you're unsure and you come to a block or an obstacle, I would say base things on how you feel. If generally most of the time the relationship you're involved in, whether it's a family member, friend, or a romantic partner, you feel good about yourself and that person is adding to the quality of your life, then you have something that is worth working towards, working with, and compromising. And on the other hand, if there is too much, if there's always a storm brewing, if it's always difficult, and if there's always a feeling of disaster, drama, destruction, that chaos, anxiety, then it's probably due to either not having good boundaries, making compromises that are ones that should not be being made, or you have no limitations on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So with that, I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. It's great to be back. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk with everyone that is going to be a part of this. You know, we have, as Ms. Natalie said, we have different experts that call in and join us each time, and so I look forward to that, and I always look forward to listeners. Please don't be shy. You don't even have to give your first name. We can just call you ma'am, sir, whatever. Nobody knows who you are, so we would really like to hear from you. So with that, I want to wish everyone a good evening. Thank everyone in the chat room for all their great support, and let them know their energy. I can feel it. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for such a warm welcome. God bless everyone, and have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you, Maya. We'll see you in 2 weeks, and I'll probably talk to you tomorrow. I know we will email each other. We always do daily.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
love you guys. Love you, Maya. Aeneas and Judy Noah, thank you for being in the room tonight. Candy had to leave. She's in New Orleans, so she's kind of on vacation, but she managed to pop in for us and promote everything like she does so well. So with that, we'll say good night. Good night, Maya. Thank you again.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.